Thank the Lord tonight for His love and kindness to me and His salvation. I'm thankful for the kingdom of God, thankful for the grandeur and the splendor, the power, the majesty, the glory. And I'm thankful that He's allowed you and me to be a part of something so wonderful and something so grand. And God, in His love and wisdom, not only allowed you and me to be a part of it, but the Lord wants us to share the duties and the responsibilities of it. Now that is a very wonderful thing, that the Lord would take something so precious and so beautiful, so vast, and yet allow you and me to have part of it, as that we can actually administer, if we will say, tonight, part of the kingdom. That's a very respectable place God has allowed you and me to be in. I'd like to, with God's great help, think about occupying the kingdom. And that's a subject I think that we never would exhaust. But yet, when you think about the honor and the privilege and the duty and responsibility, we need to consider, how do I occupy the kingdom? What is my role? What is my responsibility? If I would ask you tonight to, for those who have seen it, to describe the Grand Canyon, wouldn't that be a job? If I were to ask you to describe some great scene, some great event, some historical moment, some wonderful celebration in history. If I was to ask you if you could go back and describe the Spanish Armada, wouldn't that be a challenge for us? When you and me begin to think about the kingdom of God, it's from everlasting to everlasting. There never has existed a time that God did not exist. Hence, the kingdom of God is eternal. There will never come a place in what we might call future history that it never will be God. He will always be the eternal God. He has the realm of eternity, the realm of all of space. And He has established a kingdom here on this earth, but it is an extension of His eternal kingdom. It's part of His eternal kingdom. And He has allowed you and me to be a part of it. And He has given us commandments to occupy, to be busy, to be up and about. Now, I'd like to think about that a little tonight. Over in Isaiah 9 and 7. Maybe we'll start at Isaiah 9 and 6. We know that when Christ did come, He said that He would establish His church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So the gates of sin, the gates of falseness or error would not prevail against it. And Jesus did that. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and was ascended or descended on the people and filled their hearts. And those 120 plus people were changed dramatically. They went forth occupying. They went forth being busy. They went forth doing things for the kingdom's sake and for the kingdom of God. And Isaiah 9 and 6 said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." I'm glad in the jurisdiction of the kingdom that He allowed you and me to be a part of it, but yet He placed and kept the government in Himself and of Himself. And it went on to say, "He shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I find now, as I desire to know about the kingdom, as I desire and you desire to know our place and our responsibilities and our duties in the kingdom, we have this wonderful promise given to us that it's not left up to us to decide. It's not left up to you and me to run. It's not left up to you and me to decide the gifts, the talents, the places, the way to occupy. He said it would all be upon His shoulder. And He would be our counselor. He would be our guide, I believe He said in another place, even unto death. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. As I said earlier, it said the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. It's the Lord's doings, He said in another place, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I'm thinking again about the vastness, the outstretched extensions and expanses of the kingdom of God, and how you and me fit in, the place that we're to fill, what God is looking for you and me to do as we are told to occupy the kingdom. Over in Mark 16 and 15, He told them to go into all the world. Now, that brings it down a little bit. That takes it from eternity to eternity and places it in a place that maybe you and me can visualize somewhat. He said, go into all the world. Well, the earth is roughly 25,000 miles in circumference and roughly 8,000 miles in diameter, and it's about 3/4 water, something like that. So that leaves about 1/4 of the continent of the earth where we're needing to go to spread the word and teach the word. When you think about it, think about the awesome responsibility of occupying, being busy, not just in Guthrie, not just in Rio Rancho, not just in Germany, but all over the world. God wants a church that's occupying. God wants a people that's busy. God wants a people that's working. God wants a people that's showing forth the glories and the beauties of the Holy One, demonstrating the joy of the Lord, showing that there is power being sent down from heaven for you and me to live holy, righteous, soberly, and godly in this present world. And not just here, and we know that. Then if we try to narrow it down to Logan County, the state of Oklahoma, Logan County, think of all the different places God would have you and me to occupy. So we're looking at a kingdom that is extremely vast, extremely large. It entails the whole earth in the sense that, what shall I say, God's over it all. The church is also the kingdom, and it is primarily what we're speaking of tonight. And the Lord wants us to know how to occupy the kingdom in such a way that we can effectively minister to this vast expanse out here. And it won't come by you or me going to every nook and cranny of the earth. That's impossible. But it will, as Sister Connie spoke tonight, it will require and give to us an opportunity to those places in this vast place called earth that we can occupy. In our home, on our job, in a congregation, as we witness to people, as we occupy and do those things that God has asked us to do in the kingdom. I believe another scripture, I believe it's the last part of Matthew. It's interesting to me. I can't quite remember it right now, but it said, make disciples. When the Pentecost came, there were roughly 120. And one of the commands was, after the day of Pentecost, after the infilling of the Holy Spirit and establishment fully of the church, one of the things they required or were asked to do was making disciples, followers, because 120 couldn't do it. 120 was the beginning. 120 was the pouring out of the promise of the Father that was talked about in Joel. But in essence, God had that same blessing for whosoever will. and that same responsibility. So as we were to go into all the world, first of all, God said, and He knew it was impossible for 120, but He wants us in our day, in our time, to be an example and to be a disciple, a follower, and to occupy the kingdom, to be busy in the kingdom. This kingdom is, we know, eternal. It lasts and lasts and lasts, and then it'll last some more. Over in Matthew 16, what if you and me had to occupy the kingdom based on what we thought or what we saw? We would certainly misrepresent it. We would misrepresent it in word. We would misrepresent it in spirit. And we would misrepresent it in action. We cannot fulfill righteousness without the King of righteousness occupying us. We cannot teach unless we're taught. We cannot give unless we have been given. We cannot do those things that God requires of us of our own authority and our own zeal. The zeal will be according to our own self and not a knowledge of the divine. I'm thinking now, in order for you and me to effectively occupy the kingdom, God had to do something for us. He had to overcome our humanity. And He had to give us wisdom we didn't know about. He had to give us authority that we never had. He had to give gifts to us that there was no way for us to purchase, but out of His goodness and His zeal and His love, He began then to equip us. And listen to what it said here in Matthew 16 and 19. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, there can be different thoughts, and there can be valid thoughts. But I'm thinking about, great is the mystery, he said, Paul did, of godliness. And who can understand God to effectively describe God? None of us could. Who of us could go up to heaven and bring Christ down? Who of us could have descended into the grave and said, come, Jesus, out of this old cold tomb? None of us could do that. The Lord of heaven had to be the one that even implemented all of that. Now, he said he gives to us the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. And I thought about how God wants you and me to understand the mysteries, things that have been hidden from the ages, things that men have desired to look into and longed for. But now, in the dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he has opened up by the Spirit the very essence of who he is and what he has for mankind. Now you and me have the ability through the Spirit and the Word to effectively minister. So he gives us the keys of the kingdom. He gives us the understanding. Over in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And I want to go back to something, to the ninth verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things, the hidden things, the things that are unseen by the natural man and the natural eye. And God has revealed them to us that we might occupy, that we might effectively minister, that we have something beyond earth to give to mankind, that we have a lifestyle that is above the sins of this world. That you and me can have a spirit in us that forgives, that shows compassion. That you and me can have something that's out of this world, if you will. Not of this world, not of human origin. Something that is divine. And God has revealed that and given that to us by His Spirit. So I'm thinking about tonight occupying this great domain of the Lord. and that means to be busy in it, to be occupied in it, is going to take something far beyond what you and me have. But it's going to take the indwelling God. It's going to take Christ walking with us, teaching us, explaining to us. The scripture that we have talked a little and mentioned already is found in Luke 19 and 12. And he spake a parable, 19 and 12. And a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. We know the, probably know and remember the rest of that parable or that accounting. How some did and one didn't. And how God was very angry. The nobleman, the king, was very angry because of the slothfulness and the fear and the lack of zeal that this one showed and hid the talent. But he said here, occupy. That's the command. As every one of us, not just the minister, not just one or two, but every one of us have a commission from God that we occupy the kingdom. This word means to be carry on the business. See, he committed to us the kingdom. He committed to us to be the disciples. He called us to be the preachers and the ministers, those that go forth. He called on you and me to be the light of the world. He called on you and me to be the city set on a hill and the salt of the earth. He gave us a commission that by our good works, that He Himself would be glorified. Have you ever thought of what a glorious honor that is? For God to be honored by your actions? That men would see mine or your good works? Our deeds, our actions, our spirit, our motives? And it would reflect back to the glory of God. Occupying, demonstrating, carrying on the business, helping, giving that cup of cold water, visiting the sick, going into the jails, actually not just ethereal and heavenly minded, of course that's part of it, but actually put our hands, our talents, our feet, our mouth, our ears, our eyes, our backs, our pocketbooks to work for the kingdom, that God would be glorified. The man who goes to the places that you and me cannot go, the woman, the missionary, we can go with them in spirit. We can go with them in prayers, phone calls, encouragements, testimonies. We can rejoice if something happens there in Africa that you and me will never meet or know the people, but yet we can hear and we can rejoice and plead for more and praise God. We can offer up of our substance. We can occupy in that sense. We can give as has been given to us. Freely we have received and freely give. Oh, thank God. Today God wants us not to be a spectator, but He wants us to be our integral part of the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Do all of us have all gifts? No, of course not. He gave some 10, 5, and 1. But did you know what? That one had the potential, I'm convinced, of doing everything God wanted it to do and bringing forth much fruit. It's a wonderful thing that God has allowed you and me to work in the kingdom. And He doesn't overload us. Sometimes we may think God requires, I will require, and therefore I don't. But you know, God won't do that. He knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He knows what we can do and what we can't do. He knows what He wants to use us in and where He is not wanting to use us. He doesn't want us to measure ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. People sometimes, we as people can say, well, I cannot do what he or she does. Okay, you can't, but you can do what God wants you to do. You may not be able to whatever the title. I don't want to just name one or two because it's myriads of them. Myriads of places in the body. And we look on someone that God is blessing and we say, well, I could never do that. It's not what God's asking you to do. It's not what God is saying at all. God's saying, here, do what I want you to do. Take this. So, Lord, help us not to compare ourselves and measure ourselves and think that, well, if God calls me, I've got to be like so-and-so. No. No, it's not. You got to be like God. You got to be like Christ. You got to show the world Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord wants us to occupy, to use, to be at work with Him and busy for Him. And I'm glad, and this is a place, Lord, help me to appreciate more. Help us all to appreciate more. We could turn in 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 and you'd read something. The church of God, the body of Christ, is made up of many members. And it goes on to tell us in that particular chapter that all members have not the same office, but they're equally valuable. They're equally necessary. And one cannot say, I have more than you, or I have less than you, or I have no need, or the body has no need. One of the things about people that we have to overcome in the kingdom if we're going to be effective is put an importance on special talents or special gifts or special abilities, be they what they are. God demonstrates to us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they're all important. Every one of them. Every one. You and me know there are people that we personally can't minister to, but somebody can. Some of us have talents in one line and some another. But we need to value the diversity that's in the kingdom of God. Where would we be without that diversity? Where would we be without someone that can minister in areas that I have no abilities, no opportunities? Where would we be without a person that could effectively minister to dying people or to sick people? Or to the man on the street, to the bum, to the guy that has absolutely zero knowledge. You see what I mean? Where would we be without that person? Where would the kingdom be? So let us tonight in occupy our place as best we know how. And then praise God for the other members, the other parts, the other talents. And let's be very careful. Thank God for each one. Not to compare ourselves among ourselves, because you know and I know the work of the kingdom is so much greater than any 1, 2, or 10,000 people. There's enough work to go around and still need to call in more. The harvest is white, he said. But he said the laborers are few. Lord, help it not to be said of me and you. Help us in our day and our generation. I pray for myself that I would be more occupied in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he talks about giving gifts, giving talents, offices, callings, apostles, prophets, the eighth verse of the fourth chapter, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Go down maybe a little further, 11th verse, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teaching. He recognized there were needs, and he recognized there were talents, and he recognized that there was a vast world out here that needed to be evangelized. And there were going to be congregations that needed teachers. There were going to be sick people, well people, happy people, sad people. There were going to be people, male and female. And there were going to be people of all dimensions and races. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give gifts. And I'm convinced that we may say, well, that's the gifts of the church. I don't know that. I don't know all the gifts. And that's the way I look at it. God has got so much. Can you measure God? I think if we say, well, this is all the gifts, then we're saying that's all God is. I believe God can reach every place at all times. I think He's got gifts and talents to minister in His kingdom. And He said in the 12th verse, a purpose for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come. That's what God wants. He said in the 49th chapter of Genesis, 17th, 8th, somewhere right in there, maybe a little further down, as He blessed Judah, and He said, "Your lion's whelp, and to him shall the gathering of the people be, to Jesus Christ, and till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God." So the Lord is asking us to occupy the kingdom. In big areas, perhaps not. Little small areas, perhaps. And it's not for you and me to question the office or the duty or the responsibility. Peter was chastened somewhat of the Lord when he said, "Well, what about John?" And Jesus sternly, firmly, but yet lovingly said, "What is that to you? Follow thou me." We must get our eyes on the Lord. We must follow Him. And to leave the gifts, leave the direction up to Him. Occupy Him. Being all we can be. Back in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, it talks about, again, the 18th verse, 1 Corinthians, that the Lord set the members in the body. Now, I look at that this way right now. We've got to allow ourselves to be set or placed. To put ourselves at the disposal of God. Lord, here's my vessel. Now, I feel like I could do this. I don't really want to do this. I have certain things that I'm willing to give, but there's also areas that I would rather not. What we have to do is present our bodies, our minds, our hearts, a living sacrifice. Acceptable to God. Then He is able to set us in the body as it pleases Him. Then He's able to place us the most effective place we can think of. He could think of. He can effectively use us. And sometimes we may think, well, I'm locked in. No. Tools have more than one specific use most of the time. We are to occupy as the Lord places us, decides to use us. And God has the gifts, the talents, and the right to use us in various ways at various times. But the good news is part of the rest we have in Christ is that I don't have to work through all the things that I could do this, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, I should do this, I want to. No, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where would you place me today, Lord? Here's today. I have a burden. I have a responsibility, perhaps. But more than that, Lord, where can I be most effectively used? I want to occupy today. May the Lord help us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, complete, and pure unto God. And it becomes just something reasonable to us. It's not something outlandish or greater than we think we ought to have. I'd like to look some here momentarily for a moment. What is something that's required on our part that we may occupy? I don't know. There's many of them. These are some that came to me. And I think they're basic. They're elementary. But they're the foundation. If I am going to truly be used of God and truly have a zeal and an ability in the kingdom, which God wants us all to have, there's some things that I need to have settled in my heart. Over in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, sometimes zeal outruns wisdom. Sometimes zeal outruns callings. Sometimes zeal and what I think can get ahead of what God wants. And we need to be careful there. We need God to direct this. We read earlier on, He is the one that's going to order it and to establish it and direct it and lead it and guide it. He places the members in the body. And He gives gifts. And He is the one that sees where what needs to be done and where it needs to be done. In Matthew 22 and 37, scriptures we know quite well. 36th verse, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you and me want, and I know we do, to be effective and occupy in the kingdom, we've kind of got to get our priorities straight. We've got to determine, I love God more than anything else. His will is more important to me than my own. His will, His direction is superior in all aspects of what I may think or the direction I may want to take. We've got to love Him not with just lip service or with a knowledge that I ought to love Him, but we've got to love Him with all our heart. When I say all, or God says all, Christ said all, to me He is saying not withholding a part. The sin of the two there in Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, was that them? Was they withheld the part? He said when it was yours, you could have done what you will. But you offered it to God, you relinquished control. And now you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And in that particular instant, a severe punishment came on those two. May the Lord help us tonight. When we say, Lord, I am thine, all Lord, all thine. All of self, I resign. That is a tremendous promise. A tremendous vow we are making to God. He said, occupy till I come. When you and me come to the place, or we must come to the place, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, everything I am. I say that. I also say this. That's going to take something like we heard today. It's going to take some diligence. It's going to take maintenance. It's going to take feeding. It's going to take the rest of God. It's going to take you and me daily applying ourselves to the vow we make. But the Lord said the first thing, if I am going to occupy this kingdom, we are going to have to love Him with everything we have. Everything. And not withhold a part. And who then did the Lord call us to minister to? To the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the cattle, to the beast of the field? He called us to minister to our neighbor. Now, that puts another dilemma in our life, because the command is, if you're going to occupy, you've got to love your neighbor the way you love yourself. Isn't that a challenge? Isn't that a high calling? Don't we need God to perform that? Don't we need the Holy Ghost to perform that? Don't we need the washing and the regeneration of the Word to accomplish that? Every one of us have a self-interest, and that's not wrong. But God said, take that interest, that, what's the golden rule, we call it? As ye would that men should do unto you. We understand that. We understand that. We understand what we need, kindness and understanding, generosity. We need forgiveness. We need encouragement. We need understanding, as you would that men should do unto you. If I'm going to occupy this kingdom, then I've got to be willing to do to my brother and my friend and my neighbor out there just as I know how I would want to be treated if it was me. Don't you find that a challenge? Don't you find we need God? Do you find, see, occupying the kingdom is impossible without God? We can be born again, but folks, we've got to have God all the way, every day, and in every way. We cannot stay in the kingdom. We cannot occupy. We cannot effectively be busy unless God is there giving us the graces and the love, the anointings, the understanding, because who in himself can love his neighbor as himself? That's impossible with man. Self-interest in man is too great for that. But God wants us to occupy the kingdom. Over in Micah, he gives us some more insight of something that I believe must be in us if we're going to effectively occupy the kingdom. Micah 6:8. He hath shown thee, Micah 6:8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, if I'm going to effectively be in the kingdom and occupy it, I've got to submit to God. I've got to turn loose. I've got to walk humbly before God. I've got to recognize His authority, His kingship, and I've got to humble myself to that. If I'm going to occupy, it cannot be me occupying. It's got to be Christ in us that occupies. It's got to be you and me obeying the Master in order to occupy. It's you and me following the Word and the Spirit and the leadings of the Lord. It's you and me having Christ in us, having the love of the Father in us that will enable us to occupy. So what does He want us to do? Right here He said these things, to love mercy, and He said to walk humbly. We can't be vaunted up, we can't be lifted up, but we must walk humbly before the Lord, or with our God. Another thought that came to me, do all, 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. I marvel at the little word all, how often it's in the Bible, how often it pertains to exactly what it means in that it's requiring something of us, not in part, but in whole. How it is emphasizing to us, don't be part-time Christians. Don't be part-time occupiers. Don't be part-time saints. Don't be part-time examples. But every day and in every word, it keeps us on our knees, does it not? It keeps us in a place of humility. Lord, I can't do this without you, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I find then if I am going to do all to the glory of God, that's going to take all of me on the altar. Lord, help us tonight. I think about that and, oh, how what a burden that is for us. What a calling that is. The words I say, I wish I could go back and tell you that every word I've spoken has been to the glory of God. I wish I could go back and tell you that every word that I've spoken was with the sageness of the very Spirit of God, that in every way they ministered grace to the hearer. God, help us to strive for that perfect man. Contend for that faith. And we find ourselves less than where we ought to be. Humble ourselves. Call out on God for mercy. Lord, I really want to do all. My heart's desire is absolutely to do all to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, it said in Acts, He went about doing good. Acts 10:38. We understand that. We understand what good is. We understand when people are good to us. He asked the Good Samaritan, He asked the people about the Good Samaritan. He said, well, this is the story. This is the accounting. There was three people involved, and two did this way, and one did this. And which one of those three did right to the man that was beset by thieves and left nearly dead? obvious who it was. It was the man who showed mercy. It was the man who helped. We understand those things. And God said, Jesus said, you're right. Now, I can see him looking at them in a way that gained their attentions, and he said, now, you go and do likewise. May God help us tonight to go about doing good. We live in a world that has a lot of bad. And we live in a world that people don't always treat each other right. People misuse authority and disappoint. But Jesus Christ went about doing good. May we today set the very purpose of God. I want to do good. The Samaritan did good. We understand that. He told us to go about doing good. He said that giving a cup of cold water. Sometimes we think, I'm going to wait and really occupy the kingdom when I retire. A lot of thirsty people could use a drink of cold water. There's a lot of people that could say, I could hear, stand to hear somebody say, I love you. Little bouquet of flowers. Someone just to, maybe that's dying. Someone that's sick. Someone that's just lonely. There's a myriad of people out there. You, as one person, cannot minister to them all. But God expects His church to minister to them. And that's going to involve every one of us occupying till He comes. The two mites, sometimes we might think about money. And it is a part of our ministry. It is a part of our calling to give. And sometimes we feel as though, might feel as though, I don't have much to give. God help us to understand it's the sacrifice. It's not the quantity. It's not the glitter. The lady put in two mites. She was occupying. She was doing what she could. May God help us tonight to not measure ourselves after we become rich, after our ship comes in, after we have reached retirement. Do we know tonight that none of us have a promise of those things ever happening? And God is going to call every one of us into account of the deeds done in this body. And if we wait till we retire to give, to help, to minister, if we wait for a convenient season, we may die before that convenient season comes along. Occupying, being busy in the kingdom, self-denial, being a peacemaker, teaching by the example of our lives, being faithful. On and on, God calls us to occupy on the very aspects of His love. In John 15 and 4 now, we're going to try to come to a stopping place here. If I can use the word wow, I will in a minute, a moment. High and a holy calling, wow. A great kingdom, yes. Wow. How am I ever going to do it all? Well, good news is you don't have to do it all. But you can be an integral part. You can be a helper, be a blesser. You can be used to the Lord. You can be part of the sum of the whole. You can be the part that, right here. You can be the part of the overall picture that's right here. And you can be the part that's maybe right over here. You can fill in the blank and supply the need right here. You can be the tool God calls on right over here. And you know what? God's looking at the overall. And too many times, because of our limitations, we're looking at the little boxes that we have around us. But listen to what the Lord said in 15 and 4 of John. Quite simply, He said, abide in me, live in me, dwell in me, draw from me, take your stock, your store, your being from me. Abide in me and allow me to abide in you. The branch, and we're the branch, we're the ones out here, the tools, cannot bear fruit of itself. You know, me and you have no righteousness to offer, no abilities that will measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But he said that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. There's a great call to the church of God, always has been, and I believe it always will be. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I believe the Lord cries out so many times. The Lord comes and takes His abode in us by the Holy Spirit. He said, my Father and I, we will come to Him and make our abode with Him. The Lord wants to occupy us via His Spirit. And it is His Spirit that sets the members in the body in order. It is the Spirit that gives the gifts. It is the Spirit that brings the power from on high. It is the Spirit that gives the cunning wisdom, the ability to occupy effectively. He said, without me in you, you can't bear fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So he told them, I want you to wait. Before you go out to start occupying the kingdom, tarry right here in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high today. As we desire to occupy, and I know we do, I don't question one of us tonight that we don't want to occupy the kingdom. Let's make sure that God has equipped us with His Spirit. Let's ask God for His Spirit, for His power, for His wisdom, for His abiding presence. Then let us go out at His direction, at His leadership, and let's be willing and desirous right here and in all things to occupy till He comes. And then Matthew 24 and 46. Occupy. A crowning day, a day when beyond all understanding will take place. Blessed, 24 and 46 of Matthew, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed means to be happy. It means to be in a position to enjoy all that there is to enjoy. It means to be fulfilled. It means to be completed. And who is going to be that one that's eternally blessed? It's that individual, that person. When the Lord comes, He finds you and He finds me occupied, busy about the King's business, busy about the work of the Lord. Busy in our place. Not trying to measure ourselves among ourselves. Busy in our place. Occupied first of all by God and then occupying His kingdom. Placed in where He would have it and faithful right there. Not trying to step out of it. Not trying to think, well, I've got to do more. No, I'm occupying here. And when the Lord says, step out here, then yes. Or when the Lord says, come back this way, yes. But right here where God has placed me, in my time, in my age, in my understanding, in my economic position, whatever I am, I'm occupying right here. And when the Lord comes, He'll find you occupying, find me occupying, and He's pronounced a blessing on us. So Lord, help us tonight. Let's occupy the kingdom. To do it, we're going to need God in us. We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to need the power of the Word of God. We're going to have a heart that's truly, totally, 100% devoted. We're going to have to be objective with ourselves. And we're going to have to ask the Lord to try me and look in me and see if there's things that need to be purged out so I can be more effective. Are there fears? Are there self-desires? But He said, blessed is that man that when he returns, the Father, the servant, the King, the Master, shall so find doing. Verily I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. I don't know all that means, quite frankly. He has to relate the kingdom so many times to earthly dominions so that we can understand it. God wants you and me in heaven. And He wants you and me occupying the kingdom of heaven here so others can also enjoy heaven. He wants us to demonstrate Him in every way we can so others that can taste and see that the Lord is good. So tonight, let's be challenged. Wherever we are, wherever the little place in God's kingdom He's put us, let's occupy it. Do it heartily, heartily, Paul said, unto the Lord and not unto man. And then when the Lord comes, He will say, well, look, that's where I put Him. That's where I placed her. And look, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They were being led by me and directed by me. And now I'm going to say to them, oh, you've been good. You've been faithful servants. Come on, enter in to the joy that has been laid up and prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to see that. Lord, help us each one now to effectively occupy the kingdom. Pray for me.